Well, we know everyone is talking about this show today because it's about Mother Angelica. And we're coming up on the 39th anniversary of the launch of EWTN, which is on the Feast of the Assumption. And this is a two-part because yesterday we spoke about the favorite sayings and quotes from Mother Angelica, and we just had so many folks on the lines when we finished the show that we said, we can't do that. That is just cruel. We must continue on with this discussion. So, Jerry, it's part two of our favorite things about Mother Angelica.
That's right. As Debbie said, many of you were on the line at the end of the program, and so we always have a general rule that if you are waiting on a previous show, you can call in during the next show, and our call screener, Ryan, will put you at the head of the line. And of course, if you call right now, you're at the head of the line anyway, because phone lines just opened up at 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986.
And yesterday was just a beautiful show. We had a lot of views on Facebook and YouTube, so thank you so much, you guys. We are on again today. We're waving to you, the Take Two family, and we're talking about Mother Angelica today and how she impacted our lives, our faith life. And, you know, so many folks called in yesterday and shared how she really helped to make them rethink the way they were living their lives. And so they made this dramatic shift for the better. And we want to talk about that, how Mother and the way she delivered the gospel message, how it really touched us, how it really pierced right to our souls. So let's talk about it right now. Fill the phone lines. And like Jerry said, if you were on the line yesterday when we finished and you did not get in, please, all you have to do is call in right now and say to Ryan, Ryan, I was holding yesterday. Ryan will say, no problem. He'll bump you up to the front of the line. So please do so. And we'll announce some of the names that were waiting yesterday. Maybe if you're listening to us, you'll call back because we want to hear what you have to say. But here's the number, 833-288-3986 to get on the show today.
Yeah, and I really appreciated those who called in and said they had the experience of meeting Mother Angelica personally at some point, as Mother did do a little bit of traveling and speaking at events. And of course, a lot of people went to EWTN and were in the studio audience for her TV show. Maybe she said something on TV that you really were changed by. Perhaps you were inspired by her suffering and her silence, because the last 15 years or so of Mother Angelica's life, even though she had started what now has become the largest religious media network in the world, even though she had founded that and was on TV regularly, God saw fit to have her suffer in silence, Debbie, in the last decade and a half of her life, which is a lot of people scratching their head like, Lord, why would you do that? She's on EWTN. But it was really, I think, that suffering that really helped to fuel the growth and the good work of EWTN.
I couldn't agree more. You know, it all played into the overall picture of the success of EWTN. Absolutely. And God has a great plan. And Mother was very open, absolutely open and willing and able to enter into God's plan. And that's the beauty of it. And here we are today with EWTN, television, radio, print media, you name it. EWTN is everywhere. And that is the truth. I just wanted to share real quickly, Jerry. We had a couple folks yesterday that didn't make it on the show. I believe Diane from Cleveland, shout out to you. Please call in, call back. Mary from Philadelphia, Amanda from Louisiana. This might be Amanda calling in right now. Way to go, Amanda. She took us up on that offer to come back in today. Jean and the others, please call back. We're shouting out to you loud and clear. We want you to call back. When do you ever hear, hey, call back and you'll be at the front of the line, or come back in and you'll be at the front? You never hear that in this day and age. It's usually like, get to the back of the line, right? So Right. We're making this great offer. I hope our folks take us up on it.
You can do that right now, and the number is 833-288-3986. Saturday is the 39th anniversary of the launch of EWTN, and Mother Angelica obviously chose, Debbie, that date, August 15th, for a very beautiful reason. It is the Feast of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary into Heaven. And 39 years of EWTN coming up on Saturday, so We are just asking you to call in today and share your experiences of Mother Angelica, whether in person, on TV. Maybe you've read some of Raymond Arroyo's books and learned some things you didn't know. So whatever your take on this is, get a hold of us right now.
Okay, I'm going to totally embarrass them, and I'm sorry. I'm just going to apologize in advance, but I have to do this incredible shout-out and invitation for those that are listening in the Station of the Cross area, Station of the Cross. It is the 43rd wedding anniversary of Jim and Joanne Wright, the founders and managers of the Station of the Cross. It's their 43rd wedding anniversary today. So folks, flood the phone lines at the Station of the Cross and wish them a happy anniversary. I think it's wonderful. Isn't that beautiful? 43 beautiful years. They have such a big family. I love their family. And that just is such a testament to the sacrament of marriage, Jerry.
Well, it is, and it's also a testament to the the human spirit inspired by Mother Angelica, because I know that it was meeting her that Jim and Joanne were inspired, as so many other people were, Debbie, to start their local Catholic radio stations. And as the case is with the Station of the Cross and Guadalupe Radio Network and Catholic Radio Network and many others, they have grown from one station to many stations now. Mm-hmm. And this was all because Mother Angelica already had the TV network going, and she says, we want to make programming available for radio stations free of charge. Think about that, Debbie. Over the years of EWTN providing radio programming for free, it's probably saved Catholic radio stations into the billions of dollars by now.
Yeah, what an amazing opportunity, and what a great generous gift, and it just worked. It completely worked. So we're talking about Mother Angelica today. We want to hear what impact she had on you. Maybe you got to meet her when she was walking on this earth, or maybe you're watching the EWTN Mother Angelica Live Classics, and it still impacts you today, and they're so relevant today. And so we want to hear what it has left in you. And what it has done for you. It's all about you, okay? This is what Take Two is all about. Jerry's right. We should call it Take Two with Jerry and Debbie and you. So please call in. Don't sit this out. We want to hear from you at 833-288-3986. Fill the phone lines talking about Mother Angelica today.
You're with Take Two with Jerry and Debbie on EWTN Radio. Our producer today is Charles Beery. Jeff Burson is on social media. Ryan Penny answering the calls. Thank you, affiliates, for carrying the program. And most of you also carry the Sunrise Morning Show, which is back tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. Eastern Time. Join Anna Mitchell and Matt Swaim as they discuss St. Maximilian Kolbe, whose feast day is tomorrow, and other issues important for our Catholic faith. That's the Sunrise Morning Show, weekdays at 6 Eastern Time right here on most of these EWTN stations.
Our dear friend Kathy just weighed in via text. And by the way, you can text us as well. Text the letters EWTN to 55000. So you can leave your comment there. Kathy said, Mother Angelica spoke right through the television screen and got me out of a sinful situation I was in. I always thank her. My heart was open to hear her. She was part of my conversion, happy to say. Isn't that beautiful? I totally agree, Kathy. Fantastic. I just feel like she was sitting right in my living room. Didn't it feel that way?
Yeah.
Or still does feel that way. Yeah.
Well, I've got to share this. It's kind of funny, because I was in my 20s. I had my reversion to the Catholic faith. And we all know that that's a process and a journey. And I think the first times I saw Mother on TV, I was a little bit afraid of her, because she was so blunt. I mean, she was black and white. Truth is truth and, falsehood is falsehood. And of course, we're all on that journey. And we're kind of in between those two along that spectrum somewhere. But I just learned it didn't take long, Debbie. She became so enamored of Mother Angelica and just really came to love her so very, very deeply, as a lot of people have.
I agree. I so agree. Okay, we just love her. We just want to squeeze her. Okay, Amanda's up first. Lake Charles, Louisiana, that's where you are residing, and you are watching on Facebook. We're waving to you, Amanda. Hi, thanks for calling back and welcome.
Hello. This is my favorite topic, so I just call back.
Great.
Mother Angelica, means the world to me. I look at her as my heavenly grandmother, and soon, hopefully, she'll be my saint grandmother. I first discovered Mother Angelica when I was about eighth grade. My aunt, she introduced me to EWTN. So, and I was always scared, like they used to have scary commercials come on. So I would always go to bed to EWTN because, you know, I wouldn't have any scary things come on TV. Well, when she really started making an impact on my life, I was in high school and I was struggling just with depression and really down in life. And I would always wake up in the middle of the night just with anxiety and burning questions on my soul. And seriously, many nights, there was Mother Angelica just out of nowhere. I'd hear her voice answering my questions. Whatever I woke up just so worried about, it was as if she knew what I was thinking. And I eventually started putting a notebook by my bed. And every time this would happen, I'd write down her good quotes. And I still have that notebook today. And so she pulled me out of the darkest times in my life, and she's continued. I listen to her now mainly on YouTube. Recently, probably the most recent time when she's not here, but she came in clutch again. I was struggling with my husband at one point, and I went and laid down. I was like, I need Mother Angelica. And I clicked on a random show, Let Your Hearts Not Be Troubled. And she was speaking to me again, the answers that I needed. And what was so funny was the next morning, I follow Father Cedric, and he had popped up on my Facebook with that quote that the whole show was on, was Let Your Hearts Not Be Troubled. And I just cried with tears of joy because I knew it was God meaning for me to find that Mother Angelica show. And it was just a confirmation that what she was saying was my answer to help our marriage. I even went to my husband just crying out of joy. He's like, what are you crying for? I love Mother Angelica. I recently read her biography, and now in the middle of reading her The Silent Years. And I feel like I know her even more. And just the fact of how much she suffered and did such amazing things with trust of Jesus, true trust of Jesus.
Right.
And that just gives me hope that even if I'm suffering, you know, look at Mother Angelica. She was in pain and she just trusted God and God answered her prayers.
Well, Amanda, you know, I'm one of the quotes of Mother Angelica that I love very much, I'm looking at here. She said, the Christian vocation is simple. You are first a child of God, and the state of life where God has placed you is the source of your holiness. In your case, it was marriage, and I can just see the look on your husband's face as you were crying, and what are you crying about? Well, because I'm happy. You know, but Mother had that impact on so many people. They heard exactly what they needed to hear at that time. Debbie, this happens so often with Mother Angelica and so many shows on Catholic radio. How often do we hear from people who say, I came across your show at the right time, and the thing that you said right when I tuned in was just exactly what I needed to hear. God was speaking directly to me almost.
Yeah, and I do believe, this is my personal opinion, Amanda, I do believe that God uses each and every one of us that are willing to be open vessels how would you say it, Dale? Like a conduit, you know, connection.
Channel, conduit, yeah.
Right, a connection to others, because we are his hands and feet, okay, here on earth. And Mother was very open to that, and I think she did it in such a beautiful, nurturing, loving, but very truthful way. And it does impact us. Now, it's interesting, Amanda, because you have a very close relationship with her, but yet she has passed on from this earth. She's finished her time here on earth. I believe her ministry work still continues. I believe it still continues to whatever extent God wants it to. We know that through the canonized saints. Now, she's not a canonized saint or anything like that, but she was a holy woman of God, and she did great work. And so we know in Christ there is that ability to continue on with that ministry work. And so I think it brings comfort to all of us that, you know, when death happens, it doesn't have to be an ending for us, right? We know it's an entrance into the eternal life, right? But for us, it's such an ending for us. I don't think that's true. And in Christ, we're alive now more than ever. So I just think it's so awesome that you have this relationship with her, Amanda, because I believe when you are finished after many, many years, and you are finished with your time here on earth, I believe when you encounter her, God willing, in heaven, it's going to be a reunion of old friends. What do you think?
Yes, 100%. And also with her, she made me, because, you know, before I met Mother Angelica through TV, you think of nuns and especially how she wore the habit. You have this persona, but she threw that out the water. She was witty. She made me laugh. I go to bed watching her. I have them all recorded. And I'm sitting there laughing in bed because this old nun is just so funny. And it gave me another light to see the religious life. And then the fact that she was so bold. And like Jerry had said, you know, just so black and white, and that's how I am. It's simple. It's so straightforward, and she delivered that message so beautifully.
She did. She did, Amanda. And yeah, you talk about, you know, the religious life and how sometimes we get this image of it being kind of, you know, stuffy and stoic and all this, and the religious men and women, Debbie, just get up in the morning and they pray all day and then they go to bed. But Mother, you know, there's a lot more to religious life than that. And when you enter religious life, you don't leave your personality at the door. You don't leave your hobbies, your things you love. And Mother obviously brought a lot of that. The wisdom that she accumulated in her life, Debbie, she brought into her religious vocation.
Absolutely. Thank you, Amanda, so much for calling back
thank
and starting. Wait, and Amanda, before you go, we got a message coming in from the Inspired by Faith Book and Fellowship Club. They're watching you right now and listening to you, and they're just saying hello to you, Amanda. So thank you for being part of the book club. Gigi says hello, and thank you so much for joining it. I think we have over 225 members. So way to go, Amanda. Thank you.
It's a godsend. Thank you all so much.
Very good. All right. That line will be available. That Amanda was on there at 833-288-3986. As we have part two today of your remembering, your recollections of Mother Angelica, we're going to go to Bibi in Rochester, New York, listening on the Station of the Cross. Hi, Bibi. Welcome to Take Two.
Hi, Bibi.
God bless you, and thank you for taking my call.
Anytime.
She inspired me. I, too, read her autobiography and, in fact, plan to read it again before the summer is out. The inspiration that she and the impact she had on my life is incalculable. Because of her, I converted to Catholicism back in 2007. She was a part of it. I won't say she was totally a part of it, but I was fortunate enough to go down to Birmingham to the studios and the monastery the fall before she passed away. She just brought joy to me. She taught me that not to fear suffering, and I think that is perhaps, if not the most important thing I learned from her, it's very important. On fire for the faith and try to evangelize at every opportunity. She has turned me into a pro-life advocate. Right now I'm part of the Breath of Life Ministries here in Rochester, and we advocate for every life. Every life is a gift from God, from the womb to the tomb, and Mother Angelica inspires me every day.
Well, thank you for calling, BB. First of all, we appreciate that so much. And listening on the Station of the Cross, our good friends there. Yeah, sounds like Mother was really a big part of your conversion in 2007. So even though it's been 13 years, we haven't had our opportunity to say welcome home to you. So we will say that right now. And also, how you said Mother taught you not to fear suffering. And I just remember the way that she went through her suffering, obviously with great dignity. I'm sure it was very difficult what she went through, especially maybe not being on TV anymore. But she offered that to the Lord for the network, for the salvation of souls. It reminded me actually a lot of John Paul II and the way that great Pope St. John Paul II suffered near the end of his life. And also, Bibi, Mother inspired you to save babies' lives. I mean, wow. That is absolutely fantastic. Debbie, what do you think?
I just love, I can hear it in your words, BB, how much you just, you know, honor and respect her and just love her for what she, how she influenced all of us. And you know, you're so right. And isn't it interesting? We're in a world right now, I believe anyway, this is just my personal opinion. We're in a world right now where we're searching for those kinds of heroes, you know, those people that'll really step up and make a difference in our own personal journey, in our own personal life, you know, really impact us, you know, significantly for ourselves. And that's why I think it's a kind of a bittersweet thing, right? It's sad because we really don't have her here right now. Thank goodness we have all these videotapes and everything and all these recordings of her that can be replayed on EWTN. But it, you know, but I also think it's a call for all of us to really look inside and see if maybe we can be. Now I know we can probably never quite measure up to where she was at, but if we can maybe rise up, you know, to that kind of level and be an influence on others. What do you think, BB?
Definitely. She's gone, but her message is relevant because her message is truth. Mm-hmm. Her message was Jesus, still is, and watching her programs from the 80s, 90s, 2000s, they seem fresh because she's speaking the truth.
That's
and
right.
That never goes out of style.
Right, right. Yeah, the truth never goes out of style. So, oh, wow.
It always
awesome.
Fits.
Yeah. Thank you, BB. Thank you so very much.
Yeah, bless your heart, BB.
Thank
Thanks
you.
For the call. We have that open line now as we talk about Mother Angelica today. Your remembrances of her, something you saw on TV, heard her say, maybe again like BB and so many others inspired by her suffering. Our phone number is 833-288-3986. And Debbie, if I may, mind if I read an email?
Please do. We have so many coming in. Yes.
Yeah, this is kind of cute. Bonnie, one of our regular listeners, Bonnie, said, my dad would have turned 84 today. He died 14 years ago this November. My father-in-law died 12 years ago tomorrow. Neither of them could stand Mother Angelica. However, they were both good Catholic men, and both were so much like her in showing the love and mercy of Christ to others. They were just far more quiet and private about doing it. And Bonnie goes on to say, I love to hear Mother laugh. It is such a hearty, joy-filled laugh. Even if I don't get to hear whatever she is talking about, just to hear her laugh simply brings joy to my day. The other part I love about her is when she talked about seeing St. Michael on the place mm-hmm. where they were to start EWTN. If St. Michael shows up, you better pay attention, and I'm so thankful Mother did. Thanks, and God bless you both. Thanks, Bonnie, for that email.
Thank you, Bonnie. I so agree with you. That story about St. Michael, and that's what I said yesterday about how close she was to St. Michael. And that's very important. And that's a good reminder for all of us to pray the St. Michael prayer in the morning and in the evening, especially now when we're fighting a lot of, you know, things happening in the world, good versus evil. It's tough. And staying close to St. Michael, I think, to defend us in battle is just a perfect recipe that Mother would agree with. Right, Jerry?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We must pray that prayer. A lot of parishes are bringing that in at the end of Mass again, like they used to do. So let's stay close to the angels and stay close to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. More of your calls, Bill, Diane, Lissy, you're all coming up next on EWTN Radio.
This is part two of the discussion on Mother Angelica and how she impacted us for the better. We want to hear from you. of your experience of Mother Angelica, whether when she was alive or when you're, if you're watching her on TV. We want to hear from you. You don't have to be Catholic to call in. So you're part of the family if you're listening. So that this is the number to dial to get in on the show. You've got to go quickly, though. We're running out of time. 833-288-3986. And we're going to go to Bill in Levittown, Pennsylvania, listening on Holy Spirit Radio. Hi, Bill. Welcome back.
Hi. Well, I'm glad to be back. I wanted to share about when she was on Life on the Rock, when she got healed. That was so wonderful.
I know, Bill.
Yeah. Yep.
That was so beautiful.
Yeah, I don't remember a lot of the details about that. I'm sure it's well documented. Bill, what do you remember most about that?
Well, I remember she got rid of her braces that day.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Debbie, that was from, was it from polio or something as a child? Mother?
I don't recall yeah. I'd have to go back to the book, but Bill, do you recall?
No, I don't remember what it was from, but it was so powerful.
Yeah.
I'd have to go back to the book, but I know, yes, so powerful is correct. And, you know, that's that when these miraculous healings happen, it just really encourages us to go deeper in our faith life and our trust for God. And it's just amazing. And then to have Mother experience that for all of us to see, to know about, and for it to be written about and on television does get us to go. I think it just helps us to move along on our daily lives and to not get discouraged when things, especially of physical nature, right? Impact us, because I think sometimes when we have a physical ailment or disability, it sets us back. It makes us feel like, well, where is God in all this? You know, I want God to heal me, right? And so it's an interesting thing. But to be able to witness that, what mother's healing, that's pretty amazing. Did you look it up, Jerry? Was it polio?
Well, you know what? There is so much information. I really encourage anybody listening, go to EWTN.com/Mother Angelica, and they have there's this timeline that is absolutely amazing. So I wasn't able to find the exact details of that, but I agree with what you were saying, Debbie, and this just shows that. What's that?
I thought so too. It was an injury. I thought so too. Okay, it wasn't polio. Did you see?
Okay.
As a young nun, she was using an industrial waxing machine.
Yeah.
It was injury. I thought it was, but then but then polio would have made sense as well. But yeah, so interesting. It was an injury. Go ahead, Jerry. I'm sorry. Please forgive me.
No, not at all. This shows the beautiful way that God works in all of our lives. You know, if he believes that we need a healing at a certain time, he will provide that. And Mother had the strokes later on in her life, and God chose rather to let her be kind of like a victim soul, really, take on a lot of suffering and offer that suffering to the Lord. And Debbie and Bill, I can only imagine the souls that have come to Christ and come to salvation through her prayers and through her suffering. And, you know, so it's just, it's a beautiful story from start
it
to
is.
Finish.
And yeah. Jerry, we're getting some messages. Where should people go? EWTN, say that one more time. They want to look at that timeline.
Sure, EWTN.com/Mother Angelica. Very simple.
Love it. So we can see it all, yeah. Yeah, you know, Bill, it's interesting. Thank you for calling in and sharing this, because I think it helps all of us. You know, there's a lot, as you know, Bill, there's a lot of suffering happening right now. Anything you want to share about that?
No, it just helps you, all of us who are suffering, to unite our suffering for the good of others.
Right. We're the mystical body of Christ, Bill. When one is suffering, we're all suffering. When one is elevated, we are all elevated. That's the beauty of it. And the sooner I think we learn that and we understand that in a deep mystical way, the more we'll be able to be there for one another and journey closer to God. Bill, God bless you. You're a beautiful soul. We just love hearing your voice. Thank you so much for calling in today.
Okay, we got A lot of phone calls to get to, as many as we can during this broadcast. We're going to go to Diane next in Cleveland, listening on our affiliate, The Rock. Hi, Diane. Welcome to Take Two.
Hi, Jerry. Thank you so much. And hi, Debbie.
Hi, Diane. Thanks for calling back.
Thank you for your second invite today, because yesterday when I had first called in, I had received a prompting to call, and then your first call was from Denver, Colorado, which really solidified my idea that, yes, I need to call in, because I was one of the very few times I have ever even seen Mother Angelica on TV or viewed her, shall we say, was when she spoke to the liberal church in America after the female mime portrayed Christ in the Stations of the Cross at the World Youth Day, and Mother was so outraged. And that was my introduction to Mother Angelica, even though I was aware that she was around. I haven't had a TV for about 30 years now, so everything that I receive, especially at this time during the virus lockdown and everything that's gone beyond it, still we're in lockdown on all of our access to library in our apartment building is still closed down. That's my only access to a computer. But seeing Mother way back then at that time, and this was years after it had happened, her courage, the courage she had in her conviction, that she knew how right she was speaking out, and she spoke to the whole church, and her courage, her outrage against powers against her so impressed me. I have a bit of a mouth myself, and I think that, but whenever I am speaking, and I do a lot of call-ins to radio political shows, I always try to keep in mind that I'm speaking, I have to speak out of love, even in my convictions, that there's a certain, some I can only go to a certain point in my own anger or fear or outrage that, okay, at this point, I have to remember I'm a Catholic, I'm a Christian, and I do have love behind what I say. And I believe, really do believe, that Mother Angelica influenced me that way. Just the way that she was able to say what she wanted to say, not what anybody else wanted her to say. But what equally impressed me at that time was that she took it upon herself. She looked within and said, where am I in this? Where? And she immediately changed. The next day, she was going back to anything that was modern in her, that she had put forth in her monastery, such as the open grates and so forth. She put a halt to it because she recognized the holiness in what she could change back to, and she changed back to her traditional habit. And I think that is almost a metaphor. We change back to our good habits, and that was so powerful.
Yeah, Diane, let me try to transition that to us today, like you did for your life and how you conduct yourself, and using Mother's delivery and her techniques, if you will, and the way she conducted herself. It applies to us today. We're in a world right now where it's really difficult to speak the truth, even if we do it with great love, because as we know, people don't want to hear the truth. They want to exit out. They want to remove you. They want to make you disappear. That's how we got so good at unfriending people, right? You can make people disappear with a couple keystrokes. And it's really interesting, but I think with Mother, you know, we know of Mother, we've heard Mother speak, we can see her on the classics, we can still listen to her, we can still read her quotes, right? we can still speak the truth, like you said, Diane, out of love, but call it what it is. And Mother saw that female mime during the World Youth Day as a real, blasphemous, irreverent thing to do. And she called it. She called it what it was. And that's what she did quite often. And we are called to do the exact same thing. The unfortunate thing is most of us, and even me at times, I will tell you the truth. We're kind of frightened into the corner because, of the fear of the mob, if you will, coming after us, and trying to stop it. But I think just like Mother, she had such a close relationship with St. Michael. I believe that St. Michael will defend us and guard us and guide us. And I think we're going to be okay if we speak the truth in love, but a truth that is not compromising. I think that is very important in this day and age when people are looking for the truth. To give them a watered down truth is a disservice and really a disrespect and quite honestly, somewhat sinful to do to them because that's not the right path. What do you think, Diane?
I think that everyone has so much, we're so divided in our political views. We're so divided on even some of our values, which I feel is shameful. I think that really, if nothing else, the Catholic Church and the Catholics within it really need to be totally, totally unified in the sanctity of life issue. If that, the one issue, I believe that is the one issue of our time, and so many other things stem from it. But Debbie, I have to say that even in my boldness and being able to speak, I too am very, I can be very hurt by what people say in response to me, especially when I'm dealing directly with neighbors. And my response, I find myself returning to solitude and silence. I do a lot of, I come home and I, and this is just simply my remedy is I pick up my rosary, I go to the Adoration Chapel. I mean, we can't always, I'm not a big battle crier in person because it can be such a losing battle. I can't fight it on my own. So I know that whatever I have said, that's a good thing to say. I know that it came out of the prayer that preceded it. And I don't know that just because people have told me, I mean, I knew what to do because people have told me that's what to do, but I know out of experience that is what we have to do. We won't win it on our own. It's like going out with a billy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, Diane, God bless you for what you just shared, because not all of us have the constitutional makeup maybe to be, coming face to face and confronting people about there's a role for people who play. It's kind of like the Martha and Mary thing. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a role for people who get into that silence like you do and pray and just offer those, sacrifices of prayer and praise to God. And getting back to what you both were talking about, the truth, we know from the Bible, it says, God wills that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And we know that the truth alone will set us free. And I just remember Mother Angelica, Debbie, had so many important decisions to make throughout mm-hmm. the history of EWTN. And she always sought the truth, the will of God. And it so many times went against human wisdom. Mother, you're going to lose the network if you do that. She says, no, this is what God wants us to do. Mm-hmm. And so it's a good lesson for all of us seek and do the will of God, not what we think is going to be pleasing the eyes of men necessarily.
Well, and let's face it, she wasn't super popular among a lot of groups, and even some clergy and even some, bishops. There was people that it didn't sit well because she felt she was on a mission. and not everybody agreed. So she was facing it, you know, back then, like we're facing it now in this day and age. It's only been ramped up more in this world. The only thing I would say, Jerry, is, you know, we started this, we asked everybody to join together in the prayer and fasting group. And I just want to encourage folks, please take on the prayer and fasting in a really intense way. Because like what Diane was saying, we've got to be unified. We've got to be one voice. And if we storm heaven together with a real intense and make sure the fasting part is key, that is key. And that really can help. So Friday, you know, it's Friday. Take on a real extreme fast if you can of some degree. And let's do this together and see if we can maybe move this culture back to a God-centered
place.
World. What do you think?
Yeah.
Place. Yeah. I mean,
no, I agree completely. Yeah. Tomorrow's another day. Like you said, tomorrow's Friday. Hopefully many people will be doing that fasting and praying in a very intense and intentional way. With us, we're not heroes. We're not saints. We're just trying to make our little difference in the world like you are, Diane. Thank you so much for your call to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Appreciate it very, very much.
Hey, there's a
new book out, Debbie. Oh, go ahead.
Good. I was going to say, can you just, for our listeners, when people are asking, when was that World Youth Day and where was it? I think you looked it up.
Yeah, it was August 1993 in Denver.
Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm. See, Jerry, if you want to know anything, ask Jerry.
Well, I remember it in particular because I had a chance to go, and I chose not to go just for some other mundane reasons, whatever it was, and I missed the opportunity to be part of a World Youth Day. And pretty soon after that, I was kind of too old to go to World Youth Days anymore.
Jeff Burson was there. He just said he was there.
I'm sure he was. I'm sure
yeah,
he was.
World
EWTN
wow.
was there. Real quick, okay. Father Mitch Pacwa, those of you who know Father Mitch from EWTN, he has a new book from EWTN Publishing. It's called Wheat and Tares, Restoring the Moral Vision of a Scandalized Church. Father Mitch brings consolation to all those who have been abused, wounded, or scandalized by the wickedness of priests and bishops. He takes you on a reassuring exploration of the Gospels to show how Christ anticipated the sins of the clergy and hierarchy. Father Mitch reinforces what Christ's parables teach us. The solution, he says, lies in the power of Jesus' death and resurrection and the apostles' response to the risen Lord. Order Wheat and Tares, Restoring the Moral Vision of a Scandalized Church at EWTNRC.com. Buy Catholic, okay, buy Catholic and do so at EWTNRC.com.
Okay, we're going to go back to the phones, and please help me out. I want to make sure I properly say your name. Is it Lissy in West Palm Beach, Florida, Sirius XM 130, first-time caller? You get our virtual bell. Help me out here. Did I say it right, Lissy?
Yes, you did. Yes, Debbie, you did. It's Lissy.
Hi, welcome.
Jerry. Hi, Debbie.
Thank you.
Thank
Hello.
You. Hello.
Sure.
I just, God never fails me. Mother Angelica is part of my daily life at this point. I've had gastric disease my whole life, and it's gotten so bad that in a week and a half, I'm having a total abdominal colectomy. Mm-hmm. So my surgeon will be removing my entire large intestine. And I've been in a lot of pain for a long time. And I always listen to Mother Angelica, especially when she talks about using pain and thanking God for pain to become closer to Jesus. And I'm on my way right now to a pre-op test, and you guys are talking about her. So rather than beg God for mercy, for relief, what I've been able to do is offer up my pain, my suffering, as a sacrifice. And I do that all the time. I say, God, please don't let my pain be for naught. And please use it as a sacrifice for all the endangered souls in the world. And I learned all of that from Mother. And I'm just so grateful that you're speaking about her today.
Mm. Well, then this show was
to her every day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, this show was then for you. This show was for you. We don't believe
yes,
in any
was.
Accidents. Yeah, it really
no,
was.
No, God is speaking directly to me through you. And thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, Lissy, let me share something with you. As you know, with the Take Two family, we are prayer warriors. That's one thing we do really well. We pray round the clock. And so I entered you into our book. We have a book of our wonderful Take Two family that are living and their Take Two family that are deceased. And you're in the living book. And so that means round the clock, you're going to be getting prayers all around you. And already, as you were speaking, I was thinking to myself, you know, that's a big procedure you're going in for. But I have a dear friend that had the same thing happen. And it's interesting how, thank goodness for the medical field and everything and technology, science, they have really perfected so many aspects of it that can really ease a lot of the suffering. So that's what I'm going to pray for you, that this becomes, you know, a relief because for some of the things that you were dealing with. So I pray that it actually can be a real blessing for you. In the midst of having to endure some suffering. But I love your attitude. And I really believe that Mother Angelica, if she were here, I really believe she'd be smiling right now going, okay, Lissy, way to go.
I can hear her giggle. I love her giggle. It brings such joy to my heart. Yeah. And she also says that how can we ever feel lonely when God's always with us? And I have felt incredibly lonely. You know, I haven't been able to work and my husband's at work every day. So I have to constantly remind myself, don't be lonely. Because God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Lissy, Debbie was touching upon your response to your individual, unique suffering that God has chosen specifically for you. And Mother Angelica had her own. And really, we all do. I mean, suffering is so much a part of Catholic spirituality. It's not exclusive to the Catholic faith, but there's this emphasis on it. And we often wonder why, you know, God could have saved us any way he wanted. But God saw fit to have his son go through. I'm picturing Jesus in the Passion of the Christ movie right now, Debbie, in the Garden of Gethsemane, mm-hmm. and that scourging scene and the whole torture and just everything that he went through. That it seems outlandish that a God, a divine person, would subject himself to all of that. But there's a reason for that, because now no one of us can say to God, you don't understand what I'm going through. You know, Jesus gave us that model, and he suffered so that our suffering would have meaning. I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
Right. So. And I just want to, and you know this, Lissy, I just want to encourage you when you're feeling that the loneliness, you know, of just going through what you're going through, or even just you don't have an actual person around you at the moment, remember that your guardian angel is right there. And your guardian angel is so active in your life, and you know that, and that's a beautiful thing. But I tap into my guardian angel several times a day, and when I feel that same exact feeling, and it's so comforting. I actually somewhat feel a little bit smothered. I hope I'm saying that with pure reverence to my guardian angel. But if you know what I mean, you can feel the love coming from heaven. Now remember, your guardian angel is looking at the face of God at the same time comforting you. So it's a direct connection. Lissy, what do you think of that real quick before we let you go?
Sure. I go to Archangel Raphael often.
Wow. Very cool.
Quite often. And the other thing that, you know, Mother Angelica, you know, always about praying the rosary. And when I pray the rosary of the sorrowful mysteries, just what you were saying about Jesus in the garden and then the scourging and the crucifixion, I imagine myself in the garden with him and being able to comfort him when he took all sin on his shoulders and the emotional pain that he was in. I can't even begin to imagine.
Wow. No, none of us can. And, but we can unite our suffering with him. And I think that's very pleasing to our Lord. I've often speculated, this is just Jerry Usher thinking, not a church teaching, but since Jesus suffered for every sin that would ever be committed, when we're tempted and we choose to not sin in that situation, even though he suffered immensely and suffered perfectly for all the sins of the world, in a sense, we maybe take a lessen his suffering just a little bit that he had to go through because we choose not to commit a certain sin that he otherwise would have had to die for. Again, his suffering was horrific. It was complete anyway. But maybe, Debbie, we can be of some consolation to our Lord every time we choose not to commit a sin when we're tempted.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well said. Lissy, thank you so very much. Prayers are coming in for you right away. See what I said about the Take-Two family? They're tucking you into their rosaries today. Adoration, Mass, all for you, because we are all connected through the mystical body of Christ. Thank you, Lissy, so very much. Willie and Teresa and John and the others, we're not going to get to you. We are so sorry. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking about the Blessed Mother. And so... the Feast of the Assumption. And I really am just thrilled about that, because it kind of is a perfect, we talked about Mother Angelica, mm-hmm. you know, it's just perfect. It just fits perfectly this week.
It really is, because Saturday is the Feast of the Assumption, and it's the anniversary, 39th anniversary of the launch of EWTN. That's one of the reasons why we didn't really plan it this way, but we had these two Mother Angelica shows yesterday and today, and I think it's a beautiful lead-up, Debbie, like you said, to a talk about the Blessed Virgin Mary tomorrow.
Absolutely. And don't forget the intense prayer and fasting group. Remember, on the Feast of the Assumption, this weekend starts the 54-day novena for the healing of our nation. Very important. See, we're taking it on a prayer storm in heaven. And remember, things can be changed, shifted, even avoided, prevented through prayer and fasting. Fasting is the key there, in addition to prayer. Jerry, I'm very excited that we're coming together as a very big body of believers.
I think more and more people are realizing what we're up against in our country and in the world with the pandemic, the just everything going on. Don't need to list it all. You guys know what's going on. So yeah, let's be fasting and praying for all of that. And thanks for listening to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Thank you to the show team and the affiliates. Until tomorrow, have a beautiful and blessed day.